I'm Marco Werman with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. And today I'm joined in the studio by my colleague Rupa Shenoy. Hey, Rupa.
Hey, Marco. This hour, we're focusing on President Trump's travel ban on refugees and immigrants from 7 Muslim-majority countries. The president says the country needs this to protect itself from terrorists, and that extreme vetting of visa applicants is the key.
Yeah, but critics say it was Trump's order that could have actually used some additional vetting. Earlier, I spoke about this with Juliet Kayyem, a regular voice on our show. She was an assistant secretary at the Department of Homeland Security during the Obama administration.
There are processes in place through Democratic and Republican administrations that ensure that a major order like this, one with such impact throughout the world, is properly what we call vetted throughout the interagency. That process was bypassed for reasons having to do with, I think, the Trump team's sense that disruptive behavior is the way that one should manage safety and security. And what that meant was that when the executive order actually came out, it was inconsistent as an order with sort of conflicting text, and specifically, it took them 72 hours to figure out whether green card holders were in fact part of the executive order and the ban. But also it meant that border guards, they had no idea what was going on.
This order went through without consulting anybody at the State Department, Homeland Security. I mean, there was a sense that key posts at the State Department were vacated before this ruling went through.
Right.
To make it happen. Is the White House too powerful?
It's an absurd way to run our national security. But look, the national security staff is about 90% career. It is people who just want to support America's safety and security. They know the drill. So a perfect example of this is the idea that you could put this out there to the world and not have thought of, well, what should we do about those Iraqis who are supporting our troops as translation and interpretation services? Should we give them a carve out? The idea that you would pass an executive order and not have thought of that means that you have not sent it to the relevant people who might come back, right? People from the Pentagon who might say, look, you know, we have 100, 200 interpreters who are trying to get in. Can we get a carve out for them?
Well, an order of this magnitude coming in the first week of Trump's presidency suggests an urgency to fix something. What was broken about the process under Obama? What needed improvement?
The urgency is an urgency that the Trump administration put on themselves. There is no imminent threat that they are talking of. All border enforcement efforts, all immigration efforts, all counterterrorism efforts have to constantly be revised because the nature of the threat is changing. So I would not, you know, complain about a review of, say, you know, are our vetting processes strong enough if it was done in a fashion that respected, right, the processes, but also was effective.
Now, this list of 7 countries was actually drawn up under Obama. Is there continuity here, or do you think the Trump approach is truly a 180?
The Obama administration's list was a list of countries that they were advising Americans not to travel to because of terrorism unrest. And it was also countries that they designated that if people traveled there, that they would get a special review because of the terror threat in those countries. That's exceptionally misleading by the Trump administration to claim that because the Obama administration had a list of countries that were of concern, that that justifies a complete ban on refugees from those countries.
So a federal judge in Brooklyn on Saturday did manage to block Trump's order and prevent deportation of several people being held in detention at the airport. What can Trump do about that? And doesn't his plan for judgeships across the country start tomorrow with his announcement for the current vacancy on the Supreme Court?
Yes, I mean, you saw throughout the weekend another branch of government, the judiciary, step in for a limited class of people that were impacted by the executive order, those, of course, who were actually detained at the airports. You know, the significance of an independent judicial branch is going to be so essential. President Trump will have a tremendous influence on who he selects and on the Supreme Court. And I think you're going to see battles across lines from the judiciary, the legislative and executive branch on national security issues for the next 4 or maybe even 8 years.
Juliet Kayyem, former Homeland Security official with the Obama administration, now at the Harvard Kennedy School. Thank you very much, Juliet, as always.
Thank you.